Now, we don't want to end the week on a down note, but one of the themes that has come out of our conversations about changing workplaces, changing jobs, and changing work-life roles is that you sometimes have to jettison your misty-eyed notions of what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be? The ideal career, the best job in the world dreams that, while they're often very worthy goals, they run straight into some hard economic realities. Sometimes the job that seemed secure when you were starting out became less so as the economy changed. Industrial manufacturing jobs went through this change in the 1970s and 80s. Other sectors of the economy are seeing some dream bubbles pop as well. Allison Bird. Allison.
Hi, John.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a reporter my entire life.
And Greg Hoy, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a rock star.
All right. And Allison Bird, I gather you've had to modify those dreams right now.
I did. I decided to leave the newspaper in the summer.
And the story you wrote about not being a journalist and not being able to support your life and life dreams as a journalist is a subject of a blog post that you wrote that's been passed around the world a little bit. Why do you think it struck a chord, Allison?
Well, the response was really unanticipated, but I guess a lot of people can relate to it. Newspapers have been having a really tough time for quite some time now, and I guess I'm just not alone. Like I said, it was really just something cathartic that I wanted to write for myself, but I suppose a lot of people could relate to it one way or another.
And Greg Hoy, the idea that you can't make a living as a musician, that can't have come as a big surprise to you, right?
It really didn't, but it was worth a shot at some point, you know, in the mid-2000s, and I certainly gave it a try.
And how much of a try did you give it? Can you describe me the peak moment of your musical career?
Yeah, I had set it up so that I was living in New York City, and I had a band, and we bought the van, and I had managed to piece together like a bartending gig and a little freelance work here, and we tried to record and write and go on these tours all the time and kind of support ourselves in some shape or form. It just, after a while, it became untenable.
And Napster and MySpace and the declining record industry sort of kill off your dreams?
Yeah, the entire increase in technology, people weren't coming to our shows as much because they could sit at home and get on high-speed internet or you know, watch cable TV. Suddenly, the idea of going to play live shows and making money just didn't work.
And what are you doing now?
Now I work for the design team at Facebook.
Of course you do. Greg Hoy, postpone your dreams there for just a moment. We'll be back to you in a second. Allison Bird, what are you doing now?
I now write for the fundraising department at a public hospital.
And so you've moved from the journalist world, not into the corporate world, but into the nonprofit world.
Yes.
And if journalism represented a loss, at least you're breaking even with this job for a public hospital.
Yeah, and I do a lot of the same work. I mean, my day in, day out work involves interviewing people and telling their stories. So I'm very fortunate to do the same process daily.
And can you freelance as a reporter?
I can. My supervisors are really supportive of freelance work outside of, you know, my regular work hours. So I've been very fortunate.
Now, have you given up your dreams or pushed them to the side and made them more of a hobby while you sort of figure out what you can do to actually make a living and save and do the kinds of things that give you economic security?
I think I was just able to find that work and life balance. I wouldn't say that I gave up on a dream. I think I just stopped letting my dream keep me from being happy.
What was your peak moment as a journalist? And tell me about the moment when you decide, you know what, I got to hang this up.
My peak moment, I'd have to say, came pretty early when I was probably only about 22. I covered some cocaine cartel murders in South Florida, and I wound up traveling down to the Mexican border and searching for relatives of the people who had been killed. And it was just a very high adrenaline, very important story. I would say that was probably one of my peak moments. And what was your other question?
Well, let's explore that for a moment. Do you think it hurt you to have had such a great moment so early that it was hard to outdo that as time went on?
In a sense, yes, simply because newspapers no longer had the resources to dispatch reporters in those circumstances so quickly. I mean, we were able to get on scene faster than the investigators, and that just doesn't really happen anymore.
And when did you decide to hang it up?
I left news in June of last year.
And was there a particular moment, a thing that happened? Did you look at your bank account? What was it?
I'd have to say it was pretty cumulative. I think it was just a lot of little things over time.
And Allison Bird, you still have a lot of career and dreams ahead of you, it seems to me.
I do, absolutely, absolutely. And I plan to continue writing. And although the venue may change, I think I'm still following the dream.
Any advice for people just starting out? And I want to get Greg Hoy's advice as well, now that he's an executive at Facebook. I guess he's sort of like Sheryl Sandberg in a sense. Allison Bird, your sense of advice?
For aspiring journalists?
For aspiring anyone.
I suppose don't box yourself into a particular avenue to do what you love. There may be different roads to take.
And are you living in a place that you love?
I am. I'm actually back in my hometown of Charleston, which is, according to Condé Nast, the best city in the world. So I can't complain there.
And Greg Hoy, do you have any sort of lean-in advice for people just starting out, since you rub shoulders with Sheryl Sandberg?
Yes, we rub shoulders all the time. You know, I think whatever the kernel of why you make things or why you create something or what you want to do, you can certainly find that in many avenues. And for me, to use a tech term, when I did my career pivot, I found that, you know, hanging out with a lot of people that had sort of similar dreams but in the tech industry as creative people inspired me almost as much as being on the road and hanging out with other musicians. So I was lucky in that I found like a whole other sort of course to take that still satisfied some of the dreams that I had had as a singer-songwriter.
And what instrument do you play?
Primarily guitar and vocals.
Is there a guitar in your office at Facebook right now?
We actually have an entire music room, so anytime I need to blow off some steam, I can just go in there and wail away.
Well, nice work on the work-life balance. And is Facebook a long-term proposition for you, or are you looking to change if possible?
Well, absolutely. When I left New York City to come out here to California, I had to be very thorough in my decision. It took me a few months to decide to do it. The beauty of working there is that I still, you know, I've recorded 3 albums in the last year. I still, you know, get to sit around and write songs in my free time. And actually, the team there has been super supportive, and they like my music.
All right. Well, Greg and Allison, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Greg Hoy used to tour and record full-time. He now works at Facebook as the head of design hiring. Allison Bird, former full-time journalist, now writes newsletter stories and fundraising materials for a public hospital in South Carolina. Dreams postponed. The results of our takeaway YouGov poll on work-life balance suggest the majority of you aren't necessarily following your passion. 64% of you work to live. Only 10% of you say you live to work. More than a quarter of you say neither phrase describes your relationship with your job. Head over to thetakeaway.org. Find yourself in our poll results and send us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
While there is a stigma associated with women who choose to stay at home and raise their kids, possibly perpetuated by other women, there's also a stigma of women hating on women who choose to stay in the workforce and have their kids, you know, possibly raised by nannies and babysitters and all that kind of stuff.
Thanks to Alex in Massachusetts. Keep the conversation going at The Takeaway or 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.